Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have been really excited about this episode because we're going to be talking about something that I haven't ever talked about on the podcast before, but it's a subject that is near and dear to my heart as someone who has adopted from another culture, as someone who has fostered children who are from other cultures. I just feel so strongly and so passionately that, especially as Christians, we need to understand and embrace and celebrate other cultures. And so I have Trillia Newbell. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You sure did.
I have Trillia Newbell across from me, and we are going to talk about her brand new book, Celebrating Around the Table, Learning the Stories of Black Christians Through Readings, Fellowship, Food, and Faith. Now, Trillia, I'd love for you to start by just telling us a little bit about your beautiful family. There are pictures in this book of your family, which I love, so I feel like I got to know them a little bit as I was reading, but tell us about them.
Yes, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. This is an absolute joy and delight. My family, I've been married for 21 years to my dear husband, Thurn, and I have two children. And one thing you wouldn't know from a podcast is that, unless you follow me, is that we are an interracial family. Mm-hmm. So my husband's white, I'm black, and we have these beautiful biracial children, and they are 18 and 15 and we're in a season of launching them into adulthood. And it is a wonderful, wild time.
Mm. And I love that you were talking before we started recording about how much you love your teenagers. And that just warms my heart so much because I feel like teenagers get a really bad rap. And I adore teenagers. Obviously, there's hormones and there's challenges and there's new things every day and days when you're just like, God, I don't know that I'm cut out for this. Jesus, please help me, you know? But there's so much beauty and so much wonder and just like seeing the world through their eyes and getting to learn so much from them. So I love that. Tell us a little bit about, so you said 18 to 15, tell us a little bit more about both of them. What are they loving? What are they passionate about? And you're launching them. How's that feeling?
Oh, well, that's a whole podcast. So our podcast topic has now changed because it is absolutely, you're right. I do love them. And I also agree that I think that teenagers get a bad rap. They are so curious. And I always say to them, God has created you and I get to know you. Mm. Like, this is fun to get to know how God's created you, who you are, who you're going to be. It's a lot of joy. But my son, who's the 18-year-old, he is into music and theater, the arts, and he wants to be a history professor. So he's really cerebral and just a neat kid, and always he's into philosophy and poetry. So that is my son, and we'll see where he ends up in college. He's starting to figure that out, and that is a wild. It's just wild. He's going to be an adult and on his own, and it's wild. And then my daughter, she cheers and dances, and she's also really artistic and very smart. She right now wants to be a marine biologist. So that's where my kids are and their interests, and they have loved talking to us, which is what I've heard is a gift. It's mm-hmm. just so sweet that they will talk with my husband and I, and they're really open, and we have the funniest conversations and just enjoy each other. So it's a small, sweet little family, and I'm so grateful for it.
Okay. So talk to us about, you know, you brought up that you're a biracial family, and have there been challenges? Just tell us a little bit more. I would just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So when you say challenges, a lot of people are asked about family first. And so that's where I'll start. I am grateful to be able to say that both of our families not only embrace this, but we are family. Mm-hmm. And my sisters call my husband Thurn their brother. Mm-hmm. And so we have not experienced the kind of pushback and frankly, racism that a lot of people experience from their in-laws or their parents. I get a lot of emails asking for advice on how do I respond to my parent? What do I say when this happens, et cetera? But I haven't experienced it personally. My kids, one of the things that we have tried to do in our home is really establish the idea that they are both. So we don't want them to feel like they must choose black or white. They're both. That's how God's created them. We are in a biracial family. So I want them to understand their English culture and also understand their Black American Southern culture. And so we have embraced both and teach those things in our home. Ultimately, for our family, we want them to know that they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. So if they've placed their faith and hope in Jesus, then they are a new creation. And that really is where it begins, and that God has created them in his image. And that's where it begins for us and for what we are, our Christian home. But we also want them to embrace that, hey, you have curly hair because God's created you with curly hair, and I had curly hair or have curly hair. And this is a part of that DNA that is mixing, and it is a good thing. And so we've just made sure to communicate those things. They have not experienced any struggles from other people. One of the things that they've probably experienced is people don't know, quote unquote, they'll say, what they are. Mm-hmm. So because they have this kind of unique look and they are asked a lot, where are you from? What culture are you? Especially my daughter, I think. And so that is probably something that they've had to navigate and think through and talk through with us is, well, how do I respond to that? What should I say? And what, you know, my friend thinks I'm from one Mexico and one thinks that I'm, you know, Puerto Rican and one thinks, which is great. Awesome. But you could just tell them, okay, this is actually the makeup of my family and this is my history. And so that is what we have done, and we have not experienced a lot of pushback or racism in our community or from our family. And I can say that I am incredibly grateful for that. As an individual, I have. So I've experienced a lot, but not my family. And I'm grateful for that.
So I think this leads so well into this book that you wrote where you're talking about celebrating your culture. And you talk about how this is something that you've really prioritized in your home. Tell us a little bit more about your heart behind this book.
Yeah. So celebrating around the table, the real foundation was kind of what we started with. That was a great question about my family because I wanted to make sure that they had an avenue for understanding Black history and understanding where they came from. And we like to think creatively and fun. And this was a tradition in our home for the last 10 or so years. We would just on Black History Month, we would gather together and think of different physicians and entertainers and historians and different people in history who have done something, impacted the world, or that maybe they didn't know about. And we would just learn about them. We'd learn about their who they are. We'd learn about their maybe the music during that era, food. So we would just go through and learn about all of these different people. And we've done that every year. And so I would share, I started sharing about it maybe 3 or 4 years ago online. It's just been something we've done and I hadn't shared about it. But then I started to share about it and people were like, ah, I'd like to do this too. And then finally I was thinking, well, maybe there's a way to build a resource to help others enjoy this tradition of learning and studying and enjoying people of Black history, Christians. They are not always Christians. In this book, they are, but people of Black history who they may not have known before because so often we only learn about 3 or 4 people.
Well, and I love one of the things you talk about is that you didn't talk about certain people that are really well known in this book, because you wanted to sort of highlight some of those names that maybe we aren't as familiar with and some of their stories. And so as you were writing this, I know it's kind of like I'm asking you to pick one of your favorite kids or something, but you know, which kid is your favorite? But is there a particular person that as you were writing just really stuck out to you? You're like, this person has really influenced my life.
Probably Elizabeth Freeman.
Okay.
She was a slave who fought for her freedom in a court and won in a time when it would be unheard of. And that to me is one of the most remarkable stories. And how she did it is also amazing. She was listening to a reading of the Declaration of Independence. And where it says that all men are created equal, she realized, wait a minute, I am created equal. And so I focus in on her story. And then later I talk about Genesis 1, how God has created us in the image of God. And he has given us value or worth. And he has created us all equally. Mm-hmm. And so her story to me is one of gentleness, power, and really seeing an opportunity to fight for truth and freedom and justice in a way that I think was remarkable for the time. And she was so loved in her community. And so that, it, to me, I think is one of many stories that you're right. It's really hard because I would also say Ruby Bridges, if I could just name another person.
Okay. You got to tell us a little bit about her then if you said her name. So,
well, she was 6 years old when she helped desegregate schools in Mississippi. So you see many pictures of this little sweet girl who was walking into school with all of these adults screaming at her. Can you even fathom it? There was one teacher who agreed to teach her, and they became and remained friends for so many years. So her story is one of justice and power and prayer. She wrote in her own autobiography, Ruby Bridges wrote about how her mom taught her to pray for her enemies and to pray for those who were against her. And so she would just pray. And so it's a remarkable story of faith, prayer, walking with and a young little girl who trusted the Lord to take care of her. And so I just find that remarkable. And I think partly it's also heartbreaking, because I have children. And so I look at my kids and think, wow, how hard would it be to be the first person at such a young age to break down so many walls and barriers and to make a way for people all over the United States to be able to be together. Mm-hmm. I mean, integrate is wild and also so, so hard. Mm-hmm. So, we did talk about Ruby Bridges, this month. And one of the things that she said is that she wants to be like them because they exhibited so much forgiveness. Mm. And she said, I want to be known for that, because to not walk in bitterness and to be able to continue to speak such truth and love and to go to God in prayer for enemies. I mean, that is a faith, vulnerable, powerful thing to be able to do. And so their stories, so many of their stories is about walking in this deep trust of the Lord and trusting that one, he is a God of justice, but I'm going to walk in the freedom of forgiveness as well. And that's what so many of them did.
I love how, so throughout this book, not only are these beautiful pictures of your family and also amazing recipes.
Thank you.
But also these stories and the richness of them. And then you have these devotionals and then questions.
Yes.
That I think is so powerful. Tell us how you have used, I know probably not exactly this book, but this concept in your home. Like, what does this look like? You know, I just think to break it down for people to show how it can be done.
Okay. Very good question. One is we all have to eat. So we take recipes that are from the culture. And so this is mostly Southern culture recipes, and you cook together. And after you're done, you sit down and you talk about where the meal came from. And then we would talk about a person. So it wouldn't look like me reading off of the entire profile of someone, but pulling out different facts and then discussing those facts together. Okay. So what did you think about that? What stood out to you? What is it about that person that you want to be like? And then drawing from them, well, where do we see God in their story? How is God working? What is the characteristic that you see in them? So it really is actually simple. I've given probably more content for someone to work with and to take it their own. So cooking together, talking about what you're eating and what it means, talking about the person that you are looking at and studying, and then just letting the conversation drive itself, because it will go in different directions, and it's really amazing what you're going to learn about the other people, the Lord, and your community, the people you're gathering around the table with. And so it's pretty simple, but this resource allows people to go deeper and gives them the tools that they need to pull out whatever they want to pull out, or to sit down and read the whole thing together as a family or friends if they'd like.
Well, I love how you talk about how you've kind of done this with different cultures,
yes,
not just with the Black culture, which I think is, you give this kind of beautiful picture in here about talking about the church and, you know, building community, helping us learn how to bear one another's burdens, mm-hmm, by understanding the culture, understanding, mm-hmm, the really hard things that, you know, Black Christians have gone through and other cultures have gone through. And I just think that it really can deepen our relationships with other people.
Yes, I believe it's a good way to learn how to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. If you get to know where they're from, what have they experienced, or what have their ancestors experienced, mm-hmm, that could be affecting them now, I believe that you will gain understanding into who that person is. And it helps to build relationships and also break barriers and really love people well, mm, to be curious and to get to know someone, not just for curiosity's sake, but for the reason that God calls us. God calls us to love him and to love our neighbor. And so I do believe that that is a way to engage with people well and to ask good questions and to learn. And history does that in many ways. Learning about someone's history or about the culture helps to break those barriers down. And of course, I must say, I believe that the gospel is the ultimate barrier breaker, that it helps us to know him. It's in Ephesians 2, the veil of hostility has been broken down in the body of Jesus, making one new man so we can know each other. He provides the means of reconciliation. So I believe that all of these different things are a gift from him so that we might know each other well and lean into each other. Mm.
One of my real life friends was raving about this specific supplement on social media. And she talked about it so much and how it made her feel so much better. It really helped her pregnancy be so much smoother. And she's had a lot of kids. So I was like, paying attention to that. And she talked about it so highly that I was like, I need to check this out. Well, it is called DS01. It's a clinically validated 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. And because of her high recommendation, I started taking it myself. It's formulated with 24 strains that support your whole body, including reducing bloating, supporting radiant skin, supporting immune health, and strengthening the gut barrier. I have noticed that since I started taking it, I feel so much more energetic. And I love that. And I also love that it's super easy to take, two little capsules right before I go to bed. And it's like something that I'm doing for my health, a gift that I'm giving to myself without much effort at all. Maybe one of your goals for 2025 is to prioritize your health or to work on some areas where you feel like your health is not doing so well. This would be a great thing to check out. Ready to experience a probiotic that actually works? Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. If you want to set your child up for success, but maybe your child is struggling in a specific subject in school, or they're needing help with their homework and you just feel like, I don't know where to turn, I don't know how to help them. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. And I can tell you, Silas used IXL for his math class. He loved the real-time data that you would get. He's such a person who loves all the graphs and charts and that sort of thing, very different than me. And it really motivated him to see exactly where he was doing and how he was doing. And he actually wanted to work ahead because of the motivation that he got from IXL. This program has been proven to improve kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's going to work for any of your kids. This is the cool thing. You know, every child learns differently, but IXL has used advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And I love this part. One subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. And if your child is struggling, this is such a smart investment. It'll also save you money because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. And I love that IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Crystal Payne podcast show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I never knew that I could love a pair of jeans so much, especially a pair of jeans that was outside of the type of jeans I would usually pick for myself. Let me tell you about this. So Armoire is a site that is dedicated to helping women get dressed easily. It's a clothing rental membership, and it helps you to build a perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. Well, I did this. I took the style quiz and they picked out this pair of jeans that was very different than a pair of jeans I would pick out for myself. But I was like, you know what? I love that this is going to challenge me to step outside my comfort zone. So I'm going to try this. And I ordered them and I fell in love. So much so that I wore these jeans multiple times every single week, did not want to send them back. And I ended up buying them because I loved them so much. And that's one of the things that I love about Armoire. It helps you to define your personal style, to try things that are different than you usually would, because you don't have to feel like, well, if I don't like this, then I spent the money on it and it's going to sit in my closet and that's going to be wasteful. You can just send it back if you decide you don't like it and swap it out for something else. Another great thing is that if you are pregnant or you're on a fitness journey, Armoire can help you be able to not have to go out and keep getting a lot of new clothes. It can save you money because you can just order clothes at whatever size you are at. And then if that size changes, you can just send them in and swap them out for a different size. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
You had alluded to earlier how you've experienced racism. And
yes.
I would love for you to just speak to those of us who, you know, I have white skin. I have not experienced racism other than when I went to India and I was the only white person. Sure. And, you know, it gave me this fresh perspective of, oh, wow, I've never had this in my life before where like I was the very odd one out and everyone was staring at me and everyone was looking at me and coming up to me. And there was just a lot of things that I just thought, oh, I don't experience this in my everyday. So tell us, what would you love for someone like me who hasn't walked in your shoes? What would you love for me to know about what you have experienced?
Yeah. Well, I think you would need to know that racism is not only something that is real, but it's something that is deeply painful because it cuts to who I am as a human, as a person. So I walk out this door and I am always going to be, and I'm glad that God has created me to be Black. And so when people look at me and say, because of the color of your skin, you're not enough, you aren't like us, you're subhuman, these are things that have been said verbally to me. I've had rocks thrown at me and been called names. So those things are deeply hurtful. The good news for me is that I've always had a firm foundation of who I am in the Lord as when I became a Christian, but I've had this idea that no one can really strip my identity away. However, it is painful to have to always fight and to remind people that actually the Lord has made me who I am, and you can't take that away. So I think one of the things that has happened in our culture recently is that people will deny that racism exists, or that say that because we are integrated or because of the laws have changed that we no longer struggle with racism, that it's something that doesn't happen. That is something I've been hearing more and more. And that absolutely isn't true. And the reason it's not true is because of Genesis 3. We live in a fallen world where people do hate and people will hate, and they will hate because of sin. And they will sin against people based on the color of their skin. And it happens and it's pervasive. And it's a fight to fight racism and to speak the truth about how God has created us is something that we must do. And we can't pretend like sin doesn't exist. It does. And so that is something that I would probably, one of many things to remind people is that, the laws have changed, but we still have a fight because of Genesis 3, because we live in a fallen world, because sin exists. And so praise God for the laws that have makes it where that my husband and I can walk in freedom together because interracial marriage is no longer outlawed. Mm-hmm. Praise God for that. But that does not mean that racism doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, is a reminder that we have to remember this is something that we're going to have to fight until Jesus returns because of Genesis 3.
So based upon your experience, what would you say to the church? Like, how can we as the church do a better job in this area? Because I feel like that it's, like you said, there is that almost like it's becoming this thing of like racism doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But it does. So how can the church do a better job?
For the church, I think one thing is just to continue to preach the truth about the fall, about sin, and about repentance. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us. 1 John 1:9. So we need to confess it. We need to confess when we have the sin of partiality that James 2 talks about, when we have been partial to someone based on anything, whether it's socioeconomic or our skin color. We need to make sure that we are people who can say what we've done that's wrong and admit it and then repent and turn. But it's not going to happen if we pretend like it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be able to say it, to speak it, and not feel like we're going to be accused of being some label that, or that make it political. It's not a political issue. Mm-hmm. It is, there is politics. There is a political issue in some of the ways that it can be solved, but it is a sin issue. And if we don't get to the heart of it as the church, if we don't continue to say it, then we will have people who feel justified in their hate towards others, or they will be dormant. They won't even realize that, oh, this is actually wrong, what I'm thinking. My preference, there could be something wrong about this, that I'm sinning against my neighbor. Well, I need to repent of sin, right? And so the church, I think, needs to just continue to preach the truth and share about the freedom of repentance and the gift of forgiveness, and that we can be reconciled and unified. So we don't have to live. We do not have to remain how we are. We can change by the grace of God.
And as parents, what advice would you have for us as parents as we raise our kids?
Yeah. So for parents, I would just say, I would really encourage you to start these conversations early. Start talking about different people groups. Start praying for the nations. God has created the nations. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. And so start telling your kids now about it. I also would say, and I often say this, either the culture is going to be teaching them or you are going to. So get ahead of the culture. Go ahead and start teaching them about the realities of the past, the future, the present. You know, tell them what people have experienced now. I remember one of my kids came home and they learned about segregation, and they couldn't believe that mommy and daddy couldn't swim at the same pool at one time. And that was a remarkable idea to them, shocking and very heartbreaking. And so talking, but they weren't surprised by the injustice of it all, because we had already been talking about those things. Mm-hmm. And so talking early, I think, is helpful. And then I do believe this, the title of my book is Celebrating Around the Table. I do believe we need to learn how to enjoy and celebrate our differences. So I think it starts in our home. And so as parents, you can have fun. Tell them about cultures and enjoy it, celebrate it, learn to delight in our differences. And I think that can help kids learn to love and celebrate rather than to be afraid and cautious and fearful. Mm. And so begin now to teach them how to learn to love and celebrate, and it will carry with them through their years.
Mm. I love that, because I feel like there's so much richness when we get outside of our little bubble, you know, yeah. Like there's just, we can learn. I just think of traveling to different parts of the world, and you learn so much as you watch the way other people worship and the food that they eat and the yeah. way that they interact. I just feel like it brings this depth to your life. You're like, if I had stayed in my little bubble, I would have never gotten to experience God in these different ways, like yeah. worship in these different ways. And so I think, you know, giving our kids the opportunity to just, we, our son that is adopted, he is, his parents are Guatemalan. And so we bring those culture, you know, that culture into, like, for his birthday, we have special things that we do to celebrate for his birthday. And it's just a fun way for us to say, like, this is really special and we celebrate this. And so I love that throughout this book, that is what you are doing. You are celebrating this and also helping us to get to know people that we might have not gotten to know and their stories. And one thing that was really powerful that I honestly, this is terrible, I have not thought of this ever before. And that is, it was talking, you were talking about how it was the story of, you see, Frederick Douglass. And you were talking about how he, you know, the customary practice of separating men, women, and children.
Yes.
And, I've thought of that before, but never in the context of trauma. Because with foster care, we've done lots of training and it's always about, you know, when you are separated from biological family, the, just the ripple effect of that trauma. And I had never thought of it in the context of what slavery did. And that was just really powerful to me. It just hit me in this new way. And I just appreciate, like, you just brought out things like that, that I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's for generations, you can experience trauma when there's been so much separation from biological family. And you were talking about how, you know, they didn't even know their age.
Yes.
There was so much that they didn't know.
Yeah. So many records lost, people forgotten, families separated. Sojourner Truth's story is very similar and heartbreaking, where she talked about how her mom would just sit and cry and she would say, I'm just thinking about my kids who have been sold into slavery. Whew. Like, that brings deep chills thinking about that. And so the pain and suffering that these families endured and the tearing and ripping apart of families is something that is tragic and generational. I mean, you go year after year after year, you don't know your ancestors. And Frederick Douglass didn't really know his age. And these are the kinds of things that, you know, your records, you're not treated as a human. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the great devastations of slavery, besides the fact that it's just inhumane. But that it's the attempt to strip them of their humanness is one of the things that I just, it's devastating. Mm. But yet, how many of them rose? I can't fathom the strength and the reliance on the Lord that so many of these men and women had to have in order to endure that and to then still fight for freedom and then turn around and fight for others to mm-hmm. be free. Mm-hmm. Like, is amazing and powerful and convicting. I think of how often I'm just thinking about myself, and they went back and would help people escape, and it's amazing.
Mm. Well, and I love that this book, it gives you so much hope. You know, like, that's what I think, that it's what is beautiful about this book is that you are sharing the realness.
Yeah.
You're not holding back of, there were a lot of really horrific things that people went through. And yet you give the story of forgiveness and hope. And, you know, you're talking Frederick Douglass, how he's preaching to white people and talking about how, like, that was such a difficult thing for him to even kind of get over, that to recognize, like, no, he could stand up there and do that. Like, mm-hmm. he is made in the image of God, and to just embrace that. And you were talking about, in this book, it's a celebration of people, but a recognition of the diversity among God's image-bearing creatures, the diversity among every tribe, tongue, and nation for whom Jesus died. And one of our pastors always talks about, like, what heaven is going to look like and how there's going to be so much diversity in heaven. And so for us to start living on this earth as much as possible in, like, looking ahead to heaven and that celebration of all of these people from all of these backgrounds, that every single one is created in the image of God, and for us to celebrate God's image in them. I just think it's exciting.
Yes.
Even though there's all these painful, deeply painful things. But I just love how in this book, you ultimately, you know, it's celebrating around the table and you give us this picture of the way that we can learn the stories of Black Christians, as the subtitle is, through readings, fellowship, food, and faith, and make it a celebration for our kids. And I just think that that is a gift that we give to the future generation when we help them to really be able to celebrate other cultures.
Yes, amen to that. And one of the things that I often say is our reality is diverse. It has already been won for us. It has been won because of Jesus. Let's live in that reality. Our unity has been won. Let's live in that reality. So that what you said about your preacher, I do. I mean, we look to the future and we pray, Lord, bring heaven to earth. Mm-hmm. Our reality will be every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping together, enjoying one another. There will be no more sin. Everything will be wiped away, rejoicing. Praise the Lord for that. I believe that God can give us grace to live it now. Mm-hmm. So if we can ask for help and press through and do it, let's do it. Let's live in the reality already won for us. Mm-hmm. It is bought. Ask God for help. And that is what I do every day, is ask the Lord for help. And that is my message and hope, is that we would live in that reality.
It's a beautiful place for us to close. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing so honestly. Thank you for this book that is going to be such a valuable resource. And I love how you talk about it's not just for Black History Month. We're recording this in February. It's almost the end of February. It's not going to come out until March, but how we don't need to wait until Black History Month or save this for Black History Month. We can celebrate this all year long. You've given this resource in this book. So I just encourage everyone, the pictures and the recipes are amazing, but the devotionals and the stories, I feel like that's the thing that's really going to change your life, change your home, change your kids, change their perspective, change the ability for us to just really deeply love and live in unity with people around us. So thank you so much for this book, Celebrating Around the Table, Learning the Stories of Black Christians Through Readings, Fellowship, Food, and Faith. And we'll link that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.